preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
Yes.
Country folks can survive.
Country folks can survive. Right here on the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. This fine Monday night. Well, I'll tell you, my volume's up there. March 6th, 2023. And I'm James Kelso. We're together for 1 hour, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 p.m. here on the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. And thank you for joining us. If you want to join by telephone and get in on the excitement, you can call in at 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. The summary, executive summary. Since our last meeting Friday, here on Monday, we have the intervening weekend and two really powerful days of patriot revolt that took place at the Gaylord Resort in National Harbor. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 4-day event of Patriot Woodstock. Friday and Saturday especially. And Saturday, which we didn't get to view because we're not on air on Saturday and Sunday with the show. My goodness, on Saturday, it was Donald J. Trump himself holding forth for way over an hour. I didn't time it. Was it 2 hours? It was a long time. It was wonderful. It seemed like a short time. The crowd was held spellbound. One of Donald Trump's greatest speeches. He had them in the palm of his hand, and that was reflected in the CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference, the CPAC poll that was taken, where Donald Trump ran away with it, 62% to 22% over Ron DeSanctimonious. And it gets even better as we roll into Monday here. There's more polling that's even better than that, if you can believe it. So it was a very powerful. And let's see, what were the, for me, the most power-packed aspects of the Conservative Political Action Conference were Steve Bannon speaking, just a rousing call to the Trump army, and unequivocal enthusiasm, support for the Trump MAGA movement. It was just great. I think of all the intellectuals, if you want to call them that, the brains backing Donald Trump, Steve Bannon may be the biggest brain of all. Just incredible. And the biggest courage of all. That was really wonderful, the Steve Bannon speech, and that only surpassed by the Donald Trump speech itself. Another person who was incredible was Don Jr. This is a wonderful development. Don Jr. was great in 2016. He was great when he, you know, was brought up to the microphone to say hello to the crowd, Don. Wow, has he grown as a patriot, as a man, as a speaker since that time. He was wonderful. And I'll talk a little bit more about him, maybe play a little bit of what he said this weekend. So that was the biggest thing that happened since we last met up. Speaking of Don Jr., I just listened to an interview on, he's got a show now. He didn't have that back in 2016. Now he's got his own show called Triggered. And it's incredible. It's very unbuttoned. And if you could say, if he's taken a tone that's a little different from his dad's, he's not different from his dad. He's covering some ground. He's covering other ground, especially the unbuttoned ground, where he doesn't have to be politically correct or watch his language at all. He can call people names, and he can call a spade, in language, earthy language that all red-blooded Americans immediately connect to. So now the president himself, I wonder if I'll find the clip so I can play it for you. But in his speech on Saturday, the president, he was going over typical Democrat lies and deception and treason. He said, now again, I'm going to use the B word. Refers to bovine excrement. He said, this is the biggest piece of bullshit I've ever heard. The crowd went wild. And the crowd, 10,000 of the top right-wingers, the real right-wingers in America, were there. And for 4 days, in a pretty fancy hotel for 4 days, and these are not people with, you know, fancy bank accounts. These are red-blooded Americans just like you. So it hurt to travel for 4 days and book a fancy hotel and a car and a totally inflationary economy. Thank you very much, Communist Party USA. They dropped a pretty penny to hear the president say, that's the biggest line of bullshit I've ever heard. But what was the crowd's reaction? Here's the first gem I'll give you from this weekend. I've never seen this happen before. I don't think it has not happened before. It's a new, it's a first. You know, the crowd, we're used to hearing the crowd going, the president says something wonderful and the crowd breaks into it spontaneously. There are no coaches or, you know, people with, you know, there's no cheerleader team beginning the chant. So, you know, they used to chant USA, USA, or lock her up, lock her up. What are some of the other favorite chants? All of them spontaneous. Well, the latest spontaneous chant was this one. I know it's a little bit, you know, this is becoming okay. Don't worry about it. Don Jr. in his show, Triggered, he uses peppery language throughout, continuously. He makes me look like a choir boy. So this is nice. He's clearing some room for me. I can follow in. He's like a big, heavy offensive guard who's blocking on a run up the middle. just get behind that big freight truck, freight train, and you just stay behind him. So Don Jr. is the offensive guard who's clearing a path for all of us other little halfbacks to get through the line. And so his father said, that's the biggest, I know I'm repeating myself, it's not just because I want to say the word, that's the biggest line of bullshit I've ever heard. Okay. Then the crowd's response, maybe you've already guessed what it was. They broke into a chant, a loud, long chant. All the thousands of people in there. No, everybody's joining in. The men, the women, the kids, the old people. Everybody's enjoying the chant. I'm going to give you another hint. It's a one-word chant. Yeah, you're getting it. It's never been done before. You've never heard a crowd of 10,000 people chant this one word. The president didn't encourage it. He didn't trigger it. He used Don's term. So the crowd broke into bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I thought I'd gone to heaven. Wonderful. And okay, why is it wonderful? I'm not into vulgarity. I don't enjoy vulgar language for its own sake. But what I do enjoy is people who tell you with emotion how strongly they feel, who don't hold back. No more Mr. Nice Guy. And that's what the crowd was doing. They were, you know, we conservatives, we have a number of afflictions. One of them is we're too nice. We're way too nice. In a world where being nice means you lose. What's the thing? Nice guys finish last. We're way. So you need to be able to get angry and say, you know, you and what army? You're taking this away from me? You and what army? You talking to me? You talking to me? We need some of that. So in this chant, all these people from all over the country, as I said, you know, the proper ladies, school teachers, you know, pharmacists, doctors, truck drivers, of course, more comfortable with this language. They're all feeling that anger together, and that's what we need. And we need lots of it. We need that anger bubbling over constantly. We need to get out in the street, of course, and shake our fists, of course, tell the politicians to go straight to hell, of course. And we need to say it, not, you know, you can go straight to hell, sir. No, we need to, you know, put some oomph into it. And like the song, what's that new song that you can take your progress and stick it where the sun don't shine? That kind of that shows up in our songs, our singing, our art. And so good to see that. All right, let's see. Let me go to my chat screen here where I get messages from you guys who want to go on the air. And I'm just keeping an eye on my screen here. I'm going to message to our fabulous engineer, Mike, that I'm watching for your phone calls. And I'll put you on the air and you can talk round the world and to ships at sea. Your moment on radio, or for those of you habitual callers, your umpteenth moment on radio. Let's take a look at some of the things the president did today, Monday. Let me hit refresh. Must always do that when dealing with the orange man. Well, here it is, 2 minutes ago. Come on, stop it, Mr. President. 2 minutes ago, I mean, I say this, it happens. The man is, what are we supposed to call him? How about a phenomenon, huh? I hope when I'm 76, I'll be knocking out groundbreaking messages every few minutes. Oh, wait a minute, I'll be 76 in 2 years. I better work on my technique. So here it is. Congratulations. And I'm reading this now with you for the first time. You probably haven't seen it unless you're ahead of me. Congratulations to Tucker Carlson on one of the biggest scoops as a reporter in U.S. history. Oh, wow. Now, see, I didn't see Tucker today. He just had a show from 7 to 8. So that show just ended. The new surveillance footage of the January 6th events sheds an entirely different light on what actually happened. The Unselect Committee was a giant scam and has now unequivocally been stamped as criminal fabricators of this most important day. Pelosi and McConnell failed on security. The police story is sad and difficult to watch. Trump and most others, this is Trump himself writing it, Trump and most others are totally innocent. Let them go free now. Oh, that's so beautiful. Just made my day right there. If that's all he wrote, that would be fine with me. Incredible. And I'll have to go back first opportunity and watch the Carlson show. See, one of the biggest scoops as a reporter in U.S. history. Now, remember, it was Robert Kennedy Jr., the son of the brother of John F. Kennedy, that Robert Kennedy, who was assassinated probably by the U.S. government, as well as his brother was killed by the U.S. government. It was Robert Kennedy Jr. who listened to Tucker Carlson do a show recently in which he's had another scoop, which is that the way Tucker worded it, the CIA was involved with the murder of John F. Kennedy. That was the verb he used. They were involved, the CIA. Now, if you're involved with the murder, think about that for a second. What is he saying? Involved. If somebody is involved in your murder, didn't they kind of participate in the murder? Especially if they're the CIA and their job is to ferret out violations of law and stop them, prevent them. Yes, you are. If you're involved with the murder of the President of the United States and your name is the CIA, you committed murder of the most important person in the world, John F. Kennedy, that day in 1963. And I think that day, it's emblematic of where we are. It's actually connected with where we are. I think that day in November of 1963, when somebody, and Tucker was saying the CIA, got away with the murder of our own president, that was a watershed in American history, because the people who committed that murder must have said to themselves as the weeks rolled on after their heinous act, and they got away with it. What were they saying to themselves? We'll talk about that right after this break.
Let's make a Ford and a Chevy. It'll still last 10 years like the show. Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Me, an old hag, just one of many, can't get no respect. Yeah, we're politically incorrect, all right. All right, let's read the president's post here. I mean, I'm reading it for the first time. I didn't skip ahead on you. Okay, an entirely new, oh no, I did read the whole thing to you. I read you the whole thing. But Tucker Carlson is using his access given to him by Kevin McCarthy to the 44,000 hours of video. Can you imagine? And he's, even though I believe the last time I read about it, he was constrained from removing the video from the Capitol. He had to bring his team. He has an whole team of video editors and researchers. They can come in, they can view it in the Capitol, and then they have to leave. They can't share it, they can't copy it, they can't take it away. All right, we want more than that. So I'm with Mike Lindell, who is filed a lawsuit against Kevin McCarthy, saying, hey, buddy, that footage is public property, and I'm the public. I want to see the footage I paid for. It's mine. You do not have the right to hide it for yourself. Even if you give it to Tucker Carlson, the fact that you gave it to Tucker Carlson means you are free to give it out to a citizen. And don't give us to use the presidential word, the bullshit, that there's some security aspect to that footage. There's none. Now, I just watched Matt Gaetz in a more than 1 hour beautiful interview with John Jr. on Don Jr.'s podcast, Triggered, which I think was done from CPAC. I think he was interviewing Gaetz on the site at CPAC. A lot of great video podcasts and were done from CPAC by people like Steve Bannon and Don Trump Jr. And Matt Gaetz, he said, hey, wait a minute. I'm a congressman. This Capitol building that they're saying has security concerns that prevent release of the video, that's nonsense. I work there. There's no security concerns. We walk people through the Capitol all of the time. We go through all of the doors. Everybody's got a cell phone. They can run their cell phone in the Capitol. They can show their video of their walk through the velvet ropes or around the rotunda. They can show it to their friends at home while they're doing it in real time. There are no security concerns. We're concerned that the bad guys might get some inside scoop on our escape routes and within the Capitol. This is pure BS. Pure BS. Kevin, I'd hope we don't hear it coming from Kevin McCarthy's mouth. We all have a complete right to view all of that video. But Tucker is apparently, and I've got to go watch the show, Tucker is bringing some of it out, and I guess he's showing some of it. I guess he has some ability. Oh, video, I guess that he's cleared with Kevin McCarthy, he can show. I think there's that restriction. So, great post from the president. Okay, that was now 15 minutes ago. Now here's more good news. I think I'll have all good news today. Let's see if I can do that. The president is thumping his primary opponents, especially Ron DeSanctimonious. At the straw poll at CPAC, 62-22. That's 2-1. That's a thumping. But it gets worse. Now I'm going to read you an essay that's you're going to love this essay. The president links to this just today. I'll read you the essay. It appears at a website called The Last Refuge. It's in the conservativetreehouse.com. Not enough people have seen this. There are only 522 comments. There should be 5,000 comments. But the president putting it out within the last couple hours means it will get that many comments. President Trump crushes Ron DeSantis in head-to-head poll, 67% versus 20%. But now the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Yeah, 67-20 is a pretty big crush job. But now here's the rest of the story. With Hispanic voters. Good night, Ron DeSantis. We'll be right back after this break.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz.
I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
There's a hole in this country where its heart used to be. And no glory is divided on fire in the street. They say building back better, make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine.
Where the sun don't shine.
Big mess away from me.
Wait for me and mine. Leave us alone. Hey, let's welcome to the show James in Vancouver. James, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, let me play for you and for our audience. I'm going to play just a short clip of Donald Trump speaking on Saturday at CPAC. And, you know, I'm guilty of saying, you know, over and over again, I say to you out in the audience, this is the greatest speech Donald Trump has ever given. Now, come on, Kelso. A guy can't surpass himself every single time, especially a guy that gives hundreds, thousands of speeches. Well, I'm sorry. This is the greatest speech he's ever given. And not only the greatest speech, it's the most momentous. The occasion, the setting, the audience, which he had in the palm of his hand. There was not one dissenter in that audience. There was not one person who was, cheering for Ron DeSantis. And there's a real good reason Ron DeSantis wasn't there. He would have been, if Ron DeSantis had been there, he would have been shredded not by Donald Trump, by the audience. And now listen to this. I'm going to read, first I'm going to play Donald Trump. Then I'm going to read an essay about what you're about to hear that was linked by Donald Trump. So here's Donald Trump himself.
Their reign is over. Their reign will be over. And they know it. And America will be a free nation once again. We're not a free nation right now. Their reign is over. Their reign will be over. And they know it. And America will be a free nation once again. We're not a free nation right now. We don't have free press. We don't have free anything. In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. Not going to let this happen.
Okay, folks, that was one of the magical moments. I am. Have you ever heard a politician say this? I haven't. I am your retribution.
It's such a similar thing, but people just.
Oops. You know, you want liberals to.
That was me goofing there. I am your retribution. Oh, what a beautiful phrase. And, you know, I've got to look up. I should have a dictionary handy here. Look up the word. We all think we know what retribution means, but might find a deeper meaning there. I am your retribution. Wow. So, you know, James, what I hear in that is that Trump 2.0, starting on January 20th, 2025, is going to include retribution.
Well, this has all been galvanized by what's been happening with the railways and the sabotage, I think. I don't think Trump has a choice at this point. You know, he's the only one, I think, who can, you know, coordinate and stand up to all this nonsense.
Well, yeah, and with retribution, what he's saying is, for instance, when he talks about all... He's talking about the January 6th prisoners of war.
Yeah,
prisoners.
That and everything, and the shots and the whole damn thing. Apparently, the word on the street is this Cliff High has done a video exonerating Donald Trump for the shots. I don't know if you're familiar with Cliff High.
No, I will watch that. How does High spell his last name?
I think it's just H-I-G-H. One of the presenters on RBN in the morning mentioned this video. And he felt that Cliff Hyde did a good job and exonerates Donald Trump. I don't know the details of the video, but it sounds like it was a bunch of threats or something going on with the deep state.
Okay, so, very good. I will definitely follow up on that.
Right.
Now I'm going to read to you... for your edification, James, and our audiences, I'm going to read an essay. It's short, but the president links to it. By the way, I got that number wrong. The president beat DeSantis at the CPAC by 62-20. Now, listen to this. The latest YouGov poll shows why Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is about to make the biggest political mistake of his career. And where did you hear that first? I mean, I don't know. Maybe someone else said it. I haven't even heard him. You heard it right here. Me saying exactly this. By launching a challenge against Donald Trump. It's the end of DeSantis' career, I assure you. And I was saying that some time ago. If you listen to the professional media pundits who give and attempt to sway opinion, and if you listen to the statements from the professional Republican class that wants to remove Donald Trump from the party, you will hear this general talking point. Quote, the Republican Party needs to appeal to a younger, more ethnically diverse audience to maximize the big tent size of the party, unquote. There are many current variations of this talking point, but generally speaking, this big new tent Republican Party message is what you hear from the Karl Rove, Nikki Haley, Chris Sununu, Mitch McConnell, Ronna McDaniel, and the entirety of the cocktail class Republican circuit. It is a common talking point amid all the professional pundits. However, to point out the nonsense of their argument, if we take them at their word, what we find in almost every Republican poll demographic, Donald Trump's biggest base of support is, wait for it, younger, less wealthy, working class voters of every ethnicity. As outlined in the YouGov poll, and they show, he shows it below, and I'm going to give you some of the numbers, Donald Trump literally brings to the GOP exactly what the cocktail circuit claims to want. Yet these professional Republican voices, like Chris Christie, for example, use their talking point to frame a narrative against Trump. Now, here's the one that's just going to knock your socks off, James. You know, Ron DeSantis, who comes from a heavily Hispanic state, where if you don't get the Hispanic vote in Miami and southern Florida, you ain't going to win, dude. So he would claim, I've got a big pull with Hispanics and I've got a big pull with young people because I'm younger than Donald Trump. Well, forget about it, DeSantis, because here are the numbers. Listen to this. In this latest poll, this is small print, so I got to strain here a little bit to see it. You know what? I can just expand the, I can just go to a larger font. Hang on. I'm learning from my kids here. Font size, zoom. Here we go. Bigger, bigger. Oh, hey, I can see it. Bigger yet. All right. Now, get this. In among against Hispanic, it, or in with Hispanics, how does Donald Trump fare against Ron DeSantis? Well, at CPAC, you say, oh, that's just a bunch of right-wingers at CPAC. That's not true. I mean, that is the Republican Party, the CPAC. But the president wins 62 to 20. Now, get this. Among Hispanics, just nationally, Donald Trump, let me find it here. Let me find it. Donald Trump wins with Hispanics 67 to 20. Now, those Hispanics are actually a younger demographic than white America, or there are some Hispanics who are white, but those who identify as Hispanics are generally considerably younger than the European Caucasian population. And of course, this is the demographic that people like Karl Rove say that Donald Trump doesn't draw. No, he does. 67% of Hispanics support Donald Trump, over 20% who support Ron DeSantis. Now, with that one number, folks, if you are skilled at reading polls, that's, as I said before the break, good night, Ron DeSantis. It's over for him. He's losing bigger. Well, here, I'll read on some more. Donald Trump leads Ron DeSantis by a whopping 47 points, 67 to 20, amid the largest growing demographic group, Hispanics. And then the writer concludes, President Trump is, sorry, Karl Rove, President Trump is the future of the Republican Party, and they hate him for it. So this made my day today, is how strong Donald Trump. Let me read you another part of the essay here. It talks about the fact that all of these commentators who are slamming Trump as being too old and not appealing to ethnics is that the one group among whom Donald Trump is the weakest, and he's strong with every group, but his weakest group is older white older white college graduates. He wins even with them, but it's the working class,
right,
less affluent, younger Hispanics, and then all the other groups, the Hispanics of every variety, the working of every variety. And this is it. This is the new MAGA party. We don't even need to call it the Republican Party, the MAGA party. This is people who work with their hands. Which educational, you already know this, James, which educational stratum loves Donald Trump the most? High school graduates.
Right.
Which educational stratum loves him least? Graduate students. In other words, right, the more of this college BS you've been soaked in, you've been pickled in this college BS, the more woke you become, and then the less you like Donald Trump. And of course, all of these commentator class cocktail circuit Republicans like Karl Rove, they've all been to Ivy League schools and, you know, multiple degrees. They're really smart.
Well, they want to take advantage. They want to take advantage of their prestige and power. That's what they're about. See?
Yeah.
They don't really work for a living. But I was going to say somewhere on the internet, if you get a chance, you'll see a video of Kennedy and Connolly riding in Dallas down Main Street, and Kennedy and Connolly are having an argument. I don't know if they kept it up there, but that tells you something about what was going on that day. There was an argument, and I believe it was about things like the Federal Reserve, but back to you.
That's interesting. I'll tell you, I've been to Dealey Plaza, and for any of you that are, you that are ever in Dallas, you've got to set aside 2 hours of your day to drive over to Dealey Plaza, and it's been a few years since I was there, not that many, but a few years. So I understand it, they haven't changed it. It's just the way it was when Kennedy was assassinated, and as Tucker said, with the involvement of the CIA. Now, folks, think how that changed our lives. I was a young man, 63. How old was I? 63. I hadn't graduated high school yet. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was 15 years old.
Right.
And that changed, you know, as a 15-year-old, you don't know how that changed you, but it did.
Yeah.
It changed your whole view of life. It was just a 1-2, you know, knockout punch. That was followed by the Vietnam War. That also, you know, imagine how that affected young men. It's what's that song? And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for?
Country Joe and the Fish. Yeah.
I don't give a damn. Something.
Next stop is Vietnam.
Next stop is Vietnam. And to a young
5, 6, 7, 8, open up the pearly gates.
Yeah, whoopee,
ain't
we're
no
all going
to
die.
I wonder why we are. Whoopee, we're all going to die. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And folks, to a 15-year-old and later to an 18-year-old, me, I can speak from personal experience, it screwed me up. It screwed me up because I didn't want to, you know, using my brain power, I said, well, why are we in Vietnam? What are we fighting for? Just the way the song is. What are we fighting for? What was the whole thing was insane. Why do we have
that assassination, Ken Kesey and the boys were crossing the USA handing out LSD with impunity, right?
Yeah.
What's
happened, folks, it started with Kennedy, and I was asking the question earlier. I never answered my own question. The people who committed that crime, And all you guys out there who served in Vietnam and so on, don't switch me off, because a lot of you guys actually feel more strongly about how stupid that war was than I do, who didn't go. But for those of you who still think it was, you know, you were really defending America in Vietnam, you know, bless your heart and thank you for your service. But, you know, you got used. And the
who would want to fight for LBJ after watching Kennedy and all of that, you know, high ideals? And who would want to fight for that? I shouldn't say bad words about the dead, but you know, I wasn't going to go. I could.
You're with me. Yeah. Well, you and I. I didn't know you were in the same boat with me and millions
well,
of
no,
other.
Young I could have gone. I could have gone.
Well, I could have gone too.
I was a Canadian, but I could have gone.
Okay. Well, I got. I'll tell you how close I came. I came. All you guys who've been through induction centers, you know how this goes. You're in the induction center standing in your underwear. That's all you have on, your underwear. And you have your induction draft notice. And, you know, you're an 18-year-old kid. You're a kid. You know, you still have zits and barely, you don't even shave, maybe, guys like me. And you're going to go to Vietnam to crawl into spider holes and ghosts and then crawl through punji sticks to chase down
to
chase down fanatical Viet Minh and Viet Cong and go out on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, be dropped into the jungle. Insane, utterly insane. But
someday,
here's the thing.
Someday I'll tell you about a friend of mine who was in the secret war in Malaya. And the way they waged that war was much different than Vietnam. Back to you.
I'll tell you my experience in the induction center. So I'm standing there, and they have lines on the floor, painted lines. So you follow the line. Like if you're on the green line, you follow the green line in your underwear. And you go, you know, they check your eyes. You know, then they check your, your legs and your knees and your, you know, they check your nose and your mouth. And here's what I did. I did not want to go to that war. So I'm just a kid and nobody's, you know, I don't have anybody that can help me or tell me or something. I'm just using my own judgment. So, and my dad fought in World War II, you know. Super patriotic history, you know, a bomber pilot and a B-17.
Yep.
And so I got to one station. They pulled me off the green line after we went through the sort of an IQ test. And the Army's very good about having very objective IQ tests. They really know your IQ. It's very truthful. Right. If you're smart, they can tell you're smart. So I score very highly on such tests. And as it was, the test they gave me, I could have easily answered every single question correctly. And whatever their top number is, I would have achieved it. But I thought I was nervous. You know, I'm sweating. You know, I'm naked. So I'm in my underwear. And so I did my test. And then they called me in. They took me off the green line. They called me into a colonel's office. And I sat down in my underwear and opposite the colonel. He said, young man, he said, you know, I know you're a very smart young man. And I'll tell you how. And I wasn't saying anything. I was too nervous because I was in my underwear ready to go to the bus to take you off to, you know, Vietnam War was idling outside the station. He said, you go right from there to, you know, boot camp. So he said, you know how I know you're very smart? I said, no. I think I just shook my head, no. He said, you did something that's never occurred in this induction center before. He goes, you answered every damn question wrong. He said, I don't remember how many questions there were. He said, you answered 100 out of 100 questions. Every single one of them was correct. And you know what you have to be to do that? You have to be a friggin' genius. Because you figured out the right answer on every question. And I realized my mistake, you know.
Right. Right.
And he goes, if you had answered just randomly putting your pencil down in the little boxes, you would have gotten 25%. And so he says, son, you know, I have the authority to send you out to the front line, and I have to send you right in front of the artillery. And I had put you in a charge and in a foxhole and in a spider hole. He said, you don't want to do that. He said, but I like you.
You had a guardian angel that time.
So he said, we're going to think about you. Now get out of here.
Yeah. And I believe you.
But I didn't want to go. And there were many. And by the way, I'll tell you one other guy who didn't want to go. He was my same age. He was born in New York like me. Donald John Trump. He didn't want to go. Even though he had military training, he had, you know, been a decorated cadet in military training in school. But he also, as a young man, said, you know what? This war, this is stupid. We're not fighting for America. We're fighting for something else. And then let me connect, bring it full circle and make my point. The people, that something else is those people who killed Kennedy. And once they killed Kennedy and got away with it, I know their next question, and it's been the question in their now aging minds for the last half century, has been, if we can do that, what can't we do? If we can kill the President of the United States with impunity, is there nothing, is there anything that we can't do when it comes to evil? And folks, we have our answer now. Yep, I was 18 years old then, but I'm 74 now, and we've got the answer to their question. No, there's nothing they can't do, because they've now done things.
Experience does that to you, doesn't it? Does that to you.
Yeah, experience does that. Is it? You know, as an 18-year-old, I didn't know anything. I didn't, you know, I was just, you know, just a nervous young man who'd been playing Little League baseball and Eagle Scout and the Boy Scouts, and that was my world. And then they wanted me to go, what, fight Ho Chi Minh? You know, and then a few years later, it's, Richard Nixon's, celebrating the Chinese dictator in Beijing. Peiping, we called it then, Peiping.
Right.
And, we ran out of time here. Well, okay, well, okay. James, get back on the green line. Get back on the green line. pull your underwear up and then move forward.
Hey. Yeah. I'll see you in there. Okay. Bye now.
All right, we'll see you, James. Bye-bye. So long, everybody.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.